In today's episode, we'll talk about Donald Trump's official stated policy to keep 100% of the Bitcoin that the United States currently owns as the core of a future Bitcoin strategic national stockpile. Senator Cynthia Lummis's plan to formally create a strategic Bitcoin reserve with a bill that she has just created and drafted and plans to put forward in Congress, as well as Bitcoin's current price action, why we failed to break 70K, and a little bit about the national debt, which just hit $35 trillion today. All that and more in today's episode of The Bitcoin Layer. So welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Joe Consorti. It was an eventful weekend, to say the very least, and I, for one, am very happy about that because we have a lot to cover. We have a lot to report on, so we'll dive straight into it. The first thing that happened is that Donald Trump obviously said that if he is elected, it'll be the policy of his administration, the United States of America, to keep 100% of all the Bitcoin the U.S. government currently holds or acquires into the future. This was just one of the many aspects of Trump's formal Bitcoin framework that he actually broke down at the Bitcoin conference. I was live there watching it. It was very fun to see him work the crowd. He's very good with crowd work. The other parts of his framework include ending all anti-Bitcoin policy, including firing Gary Gensler.
I will fire Gary Gensler and appoint a new SEC chairman.
Also, end Operation Chokepoint 2.0, embrace stablecoins for U.S. dollar dominance, and end the development of a CBDC and block any and all future attempts. And so Trump is calling this Bitcoin reserve, which we speculated on here at the Bitcoin Layer, that this would be something he potentially did. I talked about this in last week's Bitcoin update. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. About him creating a strategic Bitcoin reserve, a very low-lift way of doing it, literally just keeping the roughly 200,000 Bitcoin, 213,000 Bitcoin that the United States currently owns from Silk Road and other seizures of Bitcoin to create a national Bitcoin reserve, at Fort Knox, right? With the gold we own, with the U.S. Treasuries we own, and basically just shifting it away from the Department of Justice to the United States Treasury. And that's exactly what he talked about. He said he would direct the U.S. Treasury to build a reserve of Bitcoin with the Department of Justice's current holdings as its core. And he's calling it a strategic national Bitcoin stockpile, which frankly is great marketing. Calling this thing a stockpile instead of a strategic reserve is honestly very good marketing. The verbiage around stockpile suggests that this is something we'll be stocking up, we'll be piling up, because it's something that the United States recognizes and values, which is a huge development, okay? Because here's the deal. At the Bitcoin Layer, you guys know this, in Nick's book, Layered Money, he outlined this. Bitcoin and the U.S. dollar are not competitors, right? As much as they complement one another, okay? They're two completely different levels of the monetary universe, right? Bitcoin exists as this base layer reserve asset, more akin to gold and U.S. treasuries, whereas the U.S. dollar kind of exists on top of that as a layer that people transact in. People do not transact directly in Bitcoin as they transact in higher layer monetary instruments on Bitcoin, like the Lightning Network. Anyway, the intention for Bitcoin to be held at the U.S. Treasury on the exact same balance sheet as U.S. Treasury securities, bills, notes, and bonds, and gold on a potential Trump administration's Treasury balance sheet is the biggest development yet in this shift from Bitcoin trading like risk-on NASDAQ beta to the apex risk-off asset that its properties allow it to be. Let's be real. It's absolutely scarce. You have no counterparty risk. It does what gold does, right, through hedging against inflation, but it does it better, right? It does what gold does in absolving yourself from counterparty risk, but it does it better. And so Bitcoin potentially joining the ranks of USTs and gold, two of the largest assets in the world, US Treasuries obviously being the largest single liquid asset in the entire world, is the biggest development yet in that gradual correlation shift from risk on beta to apex risk off asset, the thing you want to own as much of as you can all the time. The Bitcoin Layer is proud to be sponsored by Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with a collaborative multi-sig vault, where you hold two of the three keys and benefit from a Bitcoin security partner. Purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage vault and eliminate exchange risks with Unchained's trading desk. Unchained also offers the best IRA product in the industry, allowing you to easily roll over your old 401ks or IRAs into Bitcoin while keeping control of your keys. Don't pay more taxes than you have to. Talk to them today. Visit unchained.com/TBL and use code TBL for $100 off when you create an account. And now back to the video. Diving back into the strategy for Trump, We currently own $15.1 billion in Bitcoin, 213,000 Bitcoin to be exact. But actually, just before I pressed record, the United States government moved $2 billion worth of that Bitcoin to a new wallet, probably for an over-the-counter auction, probably for an over-the-counter sale. This kind of transfer is what happens when Bitcoin is about to be sold over-the-counter by these huge, large entities. So not 2 days, I mean, more like 2.5 days after Trump announced that he intended to keep all of the Bitcoin that the United States owns as the core of a strategic Bitcoin reserve, did the Biden administration respond by moving $2 billion of the Bitcoin that we own, which is a significant percentage of it. I just said we own about $15 billion. You know, if this is for a sale, we're going to own about $13 billion. It's kind of hard to create a strategic Bitcoin reserve when you don't own any Bitcoin. So it might be on the policy of the Biden administration to sell all of the Bitcoin, or at least a huge portion of the Bitcoin that we own, in the lead up to the November election, to disable Trump's ability to make the national Bitcoin stockpile using the Bitcoin we already own. Throwing a wrench into Trump's plans obviously makes a whole lot of sense for the Democratic Party. And it's also on par for the Democrat Party to be avowedly anti-Bitcoin and crypto. They haven't changed their stance. A whole host of Democratic senators just sent a letter to the DNC pleading, imploring them that they change their platform away from the Elizabeth Warren era of anti-Bitcoin policy into a more pro-Bitcoin attitude. But nevertheless, this kind of behavior suggests that they are still on team anti-Bitcoin, team anti-crypto. And it looks like by transferring $2 billion worth of Bitcoin out of the U.S. government's official wallet into a brand new hot wallet, probably for an over-the-counter sale, means that they're still holding onto their anti-Bitcoin position, which will not go over well in the long run. Bitcoin is an idea whose time has come. The Republicans have embraced it. The Democrats are not. And the last thing that we'll touch on before we dive into Bitcoin's price action is actually what Senator Cynthia Lummis, longtime friend of the Bitcoin layer, has proposed. And that is legislation to actually formally create a Bitcoin strategic reserve. This announcement came on right after Trump's speech. I actually had to run out of the building midway through Trump's speech. I had a flight to catch, but I caught it on my flight. And the breakdown is basically as follows. So Cynthia Lummis wants to acquire 1 million Bitcoin over 5 years, or at today's value, about $64 billion worth, and having the government acquire it. So the Fed would actually not be acquiring any of it, though it would be involved in the process. The U.S. Treasury alone would acquire them. How would it do this? Well, it would take advantage of the gold in Fort Knox, which is presently officially valued at about 1/60th of its actual market value, or 1/6 rather, which is presently about $353 billion. So step one is to have the Treasury revalue that gold at its true market worth and then realize that gain. Okay, so that'd be a pretty huge gain, right? Going from 1/6 to its full actual value, and then realizing some of that, i.e. selling that gold in order to acquire Bitcoin. So to realize that gain, the Treasury would give the Fed fresh new gold certificates equal to it. Now, the Fed originally swapped gold certificates for the Fed's actual gold when it confiscated actual gold in 1934, Executive Order 6102, before it first devalued the dollar relative to gold. And then the Fed would in turn credit the Treasury General Account, the TGA, which we've talked about here at the Bitcoin layer, by the value of the extra certificate. So that means we would have an extra, the Treasury would have an extra $347 billion or so in extra assets backing the like increase in its liabilities, with the latter consisting of a huge fresh TGA deposit. And then the Treasury could buy $64 billion of Bitcoin using just a fraction of its windfall. That is the plan. That is a plan as actually outlined this morning by Cynthia Lummis's office, who is familiar with the details of the proposed legislation. And we would love to have Senator Lummis on the show if she's seeing this now, in order to walk through this plan at the Bitcoin layer. We're uniquely positioned to talk about both Bitcoin and monetary mechanics. Our subscribers love both of those. And so we'd love to have her back on as a guest to formally discuss and explain the implications of this and actually how she'd go about doing this. And the credit for the entire explanation I just gave you goes to, and I'll have my editor, our editor at the Bitcoin layer, put this up on screen right now, at George Selgin on Twitter. Go give him a follow. He's a free market monetary guy. That's what it says in his Twitter bio. So I do thank you to George for giving us that explanation. So one other development before we get into Bitcoin's price is that Cantor Fitzgerald over the weekend, which is a U.S. financial institution that works directly with the Fed, they're only one of 24 primary dealers with the right to trade government securities with the Fed, announced that they would be creating a Bitcoin lending product. The CEO already said that they own a, and these are his words, not mine, they own a shitload of Bitcoin. Essentially, the idea is that one of the Fed's primary dealers is now offering a Bitcoin lending product. This is one of the biggest developments over the weekend that kind of went under the radar, but it is directly in line with the Bitcoin layer's thesis of Bitcoin existing as a base layer monetary asset that people just hold on to and borrow against, just like they hold on to their gold and borrow against it, and they hold on to US treasuries more so and borrow against it as well. So Bitcoin over the weekend just took massive leaps in becoming what it should be, which is a base layer monetary asset, more risk off than risk on. Right now it trades like the NASDAQ. Eventually the idea is that it'll be deep, liquid enough, and the market will finally understand what it is. So rather than selling it, they hold it as collateral and just borrow fiat against it. So without further ado, let's dive into the Bitcoin of it all, okay? I know those are the charts that you guys are more interested in seeing. So Bitcoin tried to break above $70,000. Why couldn't it break above $70,000? Well, one of the interesting things is that leverage has played a bigger role in this rally than it has previously. So if you'll note, I drew a blue line and a circle. The blue line is open interest. So the aggregated amount of futures contracts that are open in the Bitcoin futures market. So open interest is now at about $22 billion. Which is $2 billion higher than the last two times Bitcoin was around 70K. So I put the circle around that $2 billion spike. And you'll notice that on the top panel, Bitcoin's price, every time we were in this region, this around $70,000 to $74,000 region, open interest was about $20 billion. But this spike, this attempt to break above $70,000, was accompanied by a $2 billion spike in futures open interest, which means that leverage is driving the current rally more than the last two, which results in increased volatility and reduced stability. And unfortunately, as a result of that, we weren't able to actually break above $70,000. What we want to see for Bitcoin is more constructive price action that is driven by the spot market, not the futures market, not leverage, but the spot market, because we want to make sure that any rally that Bitcoin has, it can actually set a floor after that rally. And clearly, with leverage driving the market, we weren't able to break above. We could have broken above, but we weren't able to. And so now Bitcoin is moving back down. It went as high as 69,800, and now it is back down to 68,800 at the time of recording. It'll probably move a little bit lower and chop around until coins change from hands that are, leverage traders to spot traders. In the near term, it's not a welcome development for Bitcoin actually trying to push above 70K. We would like to see more spot buying, a more spot-driven rally, so we could actually have a sustainable move above 70K, breaching new all-time highs, and then gunning for, obviously, that fabled $100,000 mark. So, in sum, open interest is now $22 billion, $2 billion higher than the last two times Bitcoin was around 70K, which means that leverage is driving the current rally more than the last two, resulting in increased volatility and reduced stability. And so what we want to see is more constructive price action with Bitcoin, the people who are driving the price action being spot holders rather than leverage traders, so that Bitcoin has more of a shot at sustainably moving above 70K and back to all-time highs and toward new all-time highs and back toward 100K. So the final thing I'm going to talk about today is the debt situation. So today, the United States officially hit $35 trillion in national debt. Not exactly something you'll throw a party for. I don't imagine anybody was throwing a watch party for the United States debt clock. Maybe some of the libertarians were, but certainly not something that the U.S. government was doing themselves. We certainly know that they don't really care about austerity. They'll borrow and borrow and borrow, even if it means stealing from our children and grandchildren in order to do it. Really, the only way out of this, guys, is printing. And the only reason that the way out of this is printing is because currently we're paying $140 billion in interest on this $35 trillion in debt every month. And so annualized, you're looking at over $1.5 trillion in interest expense alone. So what the United States is doing is we're using the most expensive credit card in world history, essentially, because of obviously this is non-revolving debt. It is debt that is paid back, that is a fixed term. The United States Treasury right now is issuing a great deal of bills, but it's revolving in the sense that we don't stop issuing these bills. We have a calendar of issuance, and actually issuance is increased. And today we'll learn a little bit more about Janet Yellen's borrowing intentions for the rest of the year and what she's going to continue to do. But the reality of the situation is this: we're paying anywhere from 3 to 5% on these bills that are currently outstanding in the market, having been issued over the last several months and couple of years here. So as a result of that, now not only do we have $35 trillion in national debt, but we have a $140 billion interest expense on that debt every single month. For context, $3.5 trillion of this debt was added in the last 12 months, which is about $106,422 every second. For context, the average annual household income is just $87,000. So we're spending about $20,000 more every second, or we're issuing about $20,000 more in national debt every second over what the average household makes collectively in 1 year. And so the only way out of this is through, right? We're going to continue to see issuance rise. We're going to continue to see this debt problem get worse and worse and worse. And at the end of the day, the way out of this is printing. Time and time again, the Fed has to monetize more of that debt with dollars that it prints out of thin air. And as such, you want to hold during these periods things that can't get debased. You want to hold hard metals like gold and silver, and you want to hold Bitcoin. Where we are right now, it's a very low likelihood that we'll ever be able to pay off this debt in our lifetimes, unless we see something like Cynthia Lummis's plan go through, wherein the intention behind the Strategic Bitcoin Reserve is to hold it on our balance sheet, let it appreciate over 20 years. Within the bill, we have to hold the 1 million Bitcoin that we purchased for 20 years, let it appreciate, and then use it to pay off our debt. Frankly, that is the only way at the national level, one of the only ways at the national level that this can be solved. Because if we had austerity, meaning we issued less debt, we actually tried to reduce this, we would plunge ourselves into a multi-year recession. At a roughly 7% national deficit, our growth as a nation is dependent on having a huge amount of public debt in order to prop up the private sector. And it's gotten to a point where now we are spending $140 billion monthly. The issue is becoming an increasingly accelerative and destructive problem. And so at the individual level, you want to hold what they can't print. Cynthia Lummis is very forward-thinking in that using that same strategy of holding Bitcoin on the United States balance sheet to serve as an internal hedge against this problem so we could eventually pay down this debt is a step in the right direction for the U.S. government. But at the end of the day, as individuals, we need to hedge ourselves in the same way too. And so owning Bitcoin has become and will continue becoming one of the most popular strategies in order to hedge yourself against this very destructive path that the national debt is on, given that every single cycle, the Fed has to create new money to buy treasuries and make up the difference that the private market can't. So that's all for today. Thank you so much for checking out today's video. We really do appreciate it. It was a big one. I went through a lot. I know it was a lot. So feel free to bookmark this video if you're watching it on Twitter. Like and subscribe if you're watching it on YouTube. And of course, make sure to hit the bell notification icon so you're updated when we upload a new video. That's all for today. Thank you so much for watching. Again, a special thanks to Unchained for being the sponsor of the Bitcoin Layer. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Take it easy.